All I can ever be to you is the darkness that we know and this regret I got accustomed to. Once was the ride when we were at our height.
Welcome to Tunage, a music podcast made for the Pioneer, Cooper Union student-run newspaper. In each episode, we'll cover a wide variety of music selections, all catered towards a specific theme. We'll play our selected songs, in addition to sharing the reasons why we chose them. So wherever you're listening from, just sit back and let us soundtrack your next hour. Tunage is recorded in the Pioneer office at 41 Cooper Square.
He walks away, the sun goes down, he takes the day, but I'm grown. And in your way, in this blue shade, my tears dry on their own.
Hello, listeners. We are back with a new episode of Tunage, the first of 2018. We got the ball rolling a little bit late this time around, but Tunage is officially back for the new year. My name is Brandon. I'm joined here today by Kavya, Gabby, Olivia, and Matt. Now, even though we're well into the new year, for whatever reason, you know, it feels like January was like 2 seconds ago.
But it lasted fucking 5 hours.
Oh my god, it was so long.
But it is officially March, the month where we celebrate Women's History Month. This week, actually on March 8th, is International Women's Day. And as hinted by our intro song, that wonderful song by the late, great Miss Amy Winehouse, and in honor of the recent Time's Up movement, we are featuring in this episode our favorite women in music, female voices that have influenced and shaped our culture. Women throughout time have covered all genres in popular music since its conception, everyone from Janis to Janet, from Nina to Nikki, from Grace Jones to Joni Mitchell, from M.I.A. to TLC, from Karen O. to Cardi B.
That was good.
That was very good, right?
Yeah.
There we go.
Snaps.
Before we begin, though, like to the women on the panel, how important is female representation and visibility to you, specifically in music?
Well, when we were preparing for this episode, which was 2 hours ago this morning, what I did was I was like scrolling through all the music that I listened to. I've got playlists on playlists on playlists, and I was looking through it, and I'm so embarrassed. I couldn't find a single like female artist for like a really long time. Then there was Sia. And I was like, hell yeah, Sia, but she hasn't had anything new for a while. So I kept going, Bibi Rexha, Rexha, but in Albania it's Rexha. But that's it, just like men. So it's like, am I the problem here? Like, am I just not actively like finding like women in music, or is it like a genre industry problem? As somebody who doesn't like to ever take blame, I will totally blame the industry. So, and I mean, like, it's not a new problem with me, because like, I love rock. I love classic rock. And when I was a dumb kid, like age 12, being like, there's only good music is old music, Beatles, Queen. Like, I realized, wow, like, this is my 12-year-old thought process. I was like, wow, there are literally no women in any of these bands I like. Women must suck. So that's where I was at. Which, honestly, it's like female representation in the music industry is really important, because like there were I was so stupid. There were 100% wonderful like women and women fronted bands and solo artists around all the time that I just didn't even bother to look. I was like trapped in this bizarre internal misogynistic kind of like bubble that I didn't want to break out of. So if there was more representation of women, not saying there's a lack of music artists, like women artists, but more representation, more acceptance of women in like heavy metal bands or rock bands, because they do exist, but the fan bases are inherently misogynistic. Like thought processes like that in a 12-year-old future woman, like wouldn't have happened.
No, yeah, I definitely think like genre has a lot to do with it, because I think in like classic rock circles, you're less likely to see like female artists, especially as like the big names. And it's funny because like when you're talking about how, you know, you're going through your playlist or going through your music library and you know, had to really hunt down the female artists, like I actually listen to a lot of female artists, like, but then I also listen to a lot of like R&B music. I listen to, you know, where genres where there's a lot of female representation.
Yeah, there's much better
sort
female
of
rap there.
Like as like the face of the genre, and I guess that's how way to put it. Like, it's all there, but it's just some are primarily dominated by males.
Really like soft, mellow, jazzy stuff. And there's so many talented women and talented artists, like female artists. So I was really happy as I was going through my playlist. I was like, oh my god, I can choose from so many of these people. And I was really happy and thankful for that, because just a few years ago, whenever like we would look at songs to cover for, there weren't a lot of songs by women that we could cover that wasn't like the super poppy, like, or like If I Ain't Got You, like all that. But now I think because we are becoming more accepting of like different styles, different themes, different songs, it's just like there's a lot more availability and there's so much more visibility and representation of women and like a lot of different and controversial themes, and I'm really thankful for that because now we have so much more choices, and that really speaks for young artists or like young young female students or just like young people who want to pursue a career in music. They know that like they can do it, it's possible.
There's still so much more to be fixed though. Like all you guys say is true. Like I'm kind of like Gab, like when I was in middle school, all I listened to was like basically like Linkin Park and shit like that, and they're all like male fronted bands. And the only thing I listened to was, what's the one? The woman, she sang like My Immortal or something. Like
Evanescence?
Yeah, I used to listen to them.
Hell yeah.
Like Amy Lee is a lot.
Hell yeah.
Fred Fontaine is a big fan of Evanescence.
Oh, shout out to Freddie Fontaine.
I love it.
Repping Evanescence.
Back to you.
Number one Amy Lee stan right there.
But like, yeah, I mean, we're probably going to talk about this later today, but like even in the award ceremonies this year and stuff, there's like a lot of like women are doing great things in music, but I feel like it's still not really being seen in how, like, they're not being fairly awarded, I think, for their work.
Absolutely not.
And there's still a lot to be done in that aspect. And I think representation of women in music, like women are being represented, but there's just so much more that needs to happen.
It has to be
across
like,
all industries, but especially in music too.
Sorry.
Go for it.
There has to be like also a change in like the mindset of the people who listen to music. Because like going back to when we were 12 and dumb, no offense to smart 12-year-olds, but like it was one thing to like not see any like women like in these bands that I loved, but like, you know, going on YouTube, which was like the one way I could listen to these bands as a kid, and seeing the comments and the kind of people that listen to these music, like I don't even know if it was like the industry that didn't put these out or just these like people who wouldn't accept women in like their circles of music. They would just all kind of just assume like, hey, women songs, they're bad. And so like being a part of that forum, like when I was 12, like learning how the world worked and what people thought in general, it was like I kind of bought into that pretty easily because I didn't know any better. So that was like a really, like I'm really happy that I caught that. Like I had good friends and like access to media that pointed out how wrong this like viewpoint of the world was, but it was still like a really weird thing to like go to like get over.
I mean, even like back then, I mean, sorry, it's like a last point. But I think also, like, in a lot of the lyrics we listened to growing up, like, from my male artists, were pretty freaking disgusting. Very graphic. And, like, when you're 14 years old, you hear people, like, talking about just, like, fucking women all the time and stuff. You know? It's, like, very uncomfortable. And, like, when your minds are also that young and stuff, I think it's also...
Yeah, back when you think that fucking is just a long, passionate kiss and marriage.
Yeah, but
Jesus.
It's, like, you just hear stuff like that. Like, every single day, you're, like, going to school on school bus or whatever, just hear this music repeatedly, I think is very, that needs to change too, but that's a different story.
Male listeners, I know a common sort of viewpoint for male listeners in terms of listening to female artists is that they don't listen to female artists because they don't like relate to it, but like y'all can't relate to Lo, like y'all can't relate, you know, like the messages are like universal, like yeah, she may be using, especially for straight female artists, if you know, they may be using like male pronouns, but I mean, no one's asking you to like have an immediate connection to that. Like, it's just kind of like an expression of love. Also, makes you cringe when people change pronouns when they cover songs. It's like,
oh,
if you like
God,
the song, just like sing it. Like, no one's gonna think, you're gay for saying he.
But I was like, okay.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, Kings of Leon covered like Dancing on My Own by Robin. They kept the pronouns in there. Like, what's the problem?
Hell yeah. But actually, okay, I'm so guilty of that at age 5. Like, my music program in school, they had this, our music program wasn't banned. It was, I shit you not, a 40-year-old Canadian hippie with a guitar that would just sing old rock. Ooh, my origins. That's how I got it to like it. But before rock, it was like, you know, kids' songs, like classic folk songs. So we did Irish songs and stuff. And there were songs, I forgot how it went. It was like, I'm not going to sing it because it's just like my voice is sore. But at one point, it was like, it was talking about... It was from the viewpoint of a guy who was going to marry a girl. And when I was young, I didn't know what gay people were. So I didn't even know that was a thing. But I was just really, I don't know, I just got really kind of blushy. I was like, I don't want people to think I'm marrying a girl. I'm going to say he. So I don't know. That's just a dumbass childhood anecdote. But okay.
You know, actually, on that note, it's actually great that we're going to start off with a great song, which is chosen by Olivia. Olivia, do you want to introduce your song?
Yeah, so I picked Honey by Kalani because she is very open about her sexuality and her just like everything, and I really love that. This song actually is about her girlfriend. So she's one of the few openly, is she bi or
bisexual? Yeah.
Bisexual music artists, and all of her songs are just so down to earth, and I just love listening to the lyrics and her voice. It's just amazing. Yeah, this song specifically talks about just her and her love for her girlfriend, and it's just really sweet. Yeah, and I think, as Brendan said, like, pronouns doesn't, it shouldn't be like a problem when you're covering the song, because the song itself just shows how much love she has, and I think that's the message that you should get out, not like, oh, she's gay, like, what is she gonna do? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I love the song, I love all of her songs, but this one especially, and I hope y'all enjoy this.
I like my girls just like I like my honey, sweet little selfish. I like my women like I like my money, green little jealous. 'Cause I'm a beautiful wreck, a colorful mess, but I'm funny. Oh, I'm a heartbreak vet with a stone cold neck, yeah, I'm charming. All the pretty girls in the world, but I'm in this space with you. Call it out the lines, I can't define. My fire will stay with you, heart it will stay with you. Fly great escapes with you. Oh.
No, I really like that song.
Thank you. I'm synesthetic. That was actually a really sweet song, like, literally.
I like how it's, like, very unapologetic about, like, the subject matter. Because, like, I feel like often, yeah, like, you find, like, queer artists refrain from using certain pronouns to, like, you know, pander to, like, the straight audiences, I guess. So it's really cool to see, like, artists like Kehlani and, like, Halsey, too, like, on the radio, you know, with songs about their experiences and being so, like, unapologetic about it, you know, so...
Yeah, it was like really, really pretty.
Music is like it's expressing who you are, and I don't think anyone should be afraid to like just express who they are as they are. So I really like her because she's so open. Yeah.
Totally agree. Matt, you're up. What song did you select for us?
Cool. The song I chose is Face Like Thunder by The Japanese House. Yeah, I found The Japanese House by listening to the 1975, and a couple of the guys from the 1975 helped produce her music. So she goes by the name, she's a solo artist, but she goes by Japanese House because kind of as a way to be a little bit ambiguous about like her gender and identity. From what I've read and heard in interviews. Yeah, so she sings with a deep voice, so it is kind of like ambiguous that way. Like who's actually, she doesn't sing like, I guess, a typical female would. But, yeah, I really like this song. This is one of my favorite songs from her, so let's give it a listen.
Say sorry for what, for what, for what.
Face like I gotta say, like, I just added, really like that song. I just added it to my playlist.
Yeah, we're
Because I need to diversify.
I wanna add it to my chill playlist.
Yeah, it's already on my playlist.
Man, I am behind the times.
I should figure though, because I do like the 1975's music, and I should like look into like what else they're making for other people and stuff, because that was very 1975, but also like female voices attached to like those type of like instrumentals are really cool. Oh, actually, like, I just remembered, like, do you know like Bleachers, Jack Antonoff's project? So like he,
what?
Bleachers, the band Bleachers?
No.
Oh, so there's a band Bleachers, and they have like an album, they have a couple albums in, but he actually, with his first album, he re-released that album, but with all female vocalists on each of the songs. So like, I think like Tinashe's on there, and like Sarah Bareilles and Charlie XCX. So it's like all female singers singing his songs, but with the same like instrumentals. Because I think he said that he always felt like the female voice like sounds better than the male voice in like his songs. So
is it on Spotify?
Yeah, it's on Spotify. Yeah.
So hell to the yes.
It's really cool. But yeah, thank you for that. Kavya, you're up. What song have you selected for us?
So I chose Alicia Keys' Girl on Fire. Alicia Keys was one of the first artists I listened to growing up. Like, I remember listening to her music. What was the song? Empire State of Mind. And then there was some other song that I can't remember the name of, but it was just, like, a lot of her music was very inspiring to me. And just, like, she has really good vocals and stuff. And this song, it's not new, but it came out. It's one of her recent songs. I feel like she doesn't produce that much music anymore. She does a lot of charity work and stuff, which is pretty cool.
And the voice.
Yeah, and the voice. this song I just think is like a kind of like one of those like anthem-like songs. And also, she sang this in the first woman. I mean, in the Women's March right after Trump's inauguration.
Oh wow!
So
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's just a very inspiring song, and she inspires people. So.
I think she also did this song like one time at the VMAs. It was like the 2011 VMAs,
yeah,
or something. And like it was just the summer off of like the Fierce Five winning at the Olympics. I said the Grammys, the Olympics. And like Gabby Douglas performed with her, and she was like doing flips and stuff during Girl on Fire. It was really cool.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. I should watch that.
Looks like a girl, but she's a flame. So bright she can burn your eyes. Better look the other way. You can try, but you'll never forget her name. She's on top of the world. Hottest of the hottest girls. Say, oh, we got our feet on the ground, and we're burning it down. Oh, got our head in the clouds, and we're not coming down.
I kind of just want to say that the media did Gabby Douglas super dirty. Like, at one point, she was America's sweetheart in the Olympics, and then suddenly everybody just started roasting her.
Because of Simone Biles.
Right, Simone in favor Biles of Simone Biles. And then the whole Larry Nassar thing came up, and Gabby Douglas didn't make such a good show of herself when she was like, a woman has to be classy. But then it comes out that she was also abused. So it's like, I don't know, I feel like this girl's just been, like, victimized time and time again. She's just getting a bad hand ever since the 2012.
But also, she did shade the hell out of, like, I think Ali Raisman.
No, that's what I'm referring to.
Oh, yeah,
she
yeah.
was just like, when like a, it's up to the girl to stay classy.
Yeah.
To not be, but keep in mind, she was also molested. So that was like internalized, kind of. So, you
Wait,
know
what
how sometimes.
She
There was like a really.
So like, you know, like that weird, that stupid ass Larry Nassar guy who
yeah,
was
yeah,
like.
Yeah, I know him.
Who worked with like a lot of the girls on the Olympic gymnastics team. And, you know, it was, like, a lot of the gymnasts were, like, coming out about, you know, their experiences with him or whatever. And Ali Raisin was one of them. And then she, like, she, you know, she was public about it, and everyone was, like, cheering her on.
But
and
she was actually the one who made it, like, the big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Gabby Douglas actually, like, replied to her publicly.
First, she said, she quoted the tweet, and she was just, like, I mean, it was never really against her, but it was just super bad verbiage. Like, it was, like, okay, like, this sucks that it happened, but it's also up to the girl to stay classy and to dress modestly so that this stuff doesn't happen.
She, like, slut-shamed
like,
a little
yikes,
bit.
Yikes, yikes, yikes. But then it comes out that Gabby was also victimized. So, like, I'm definitely assuming that it's just, like, she was victimized and she's telling herself it was all my fault. Like, I had to be classy. I should have dressed modestly. So was that bad? Absolutely. But, like, it comes from, like, a different point of experience, which is just, like, again and again, this Me Too movement, the Larry Nassar thing, it's all very complicated, especially with the way that women look at it and treat each other as a result. It's just, there's so much nuance between every single interaction.
Yeah, I think it's, like, important to, like, legitimize every woman's opinion on, like, stuff like this. Because, like, you know, I'm pretty sure Gabby Douglas got a lot of flack for that.
Tons of
but
it.
Also looking for the other angle, it's like, you
the,
know.
The other angle came not very shortly after. And once that, it was like, I kind of see it as, like, a literally, like, a curve. It was like, I hate you. Oh, my God, you suck. Oh, my God. Like, it was like that kind of, like, with that, like, timeline of tweeting, sort of.
Yeah, I'm gonna shift back to Alicia Keys real quick.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So fun fact, did you guys know that Alicia Keys' first couple of albums were largely self-written and self-produced? So, like, songs like Fallen, If I Ain't Got You, they all have one writing and producing credit, and that's Alicia Keys herself.
Wow.
And those songs are, like, straight up classics.
Yeah,
so it's
those
like
are really good.
You know, like, fuck anyone who says that women can't be behind the boards as well,
yeah,
you know? Like,
cool.
I think it's really dope. Because, I mean, like, recently, you know, you'll have, like, you know, for example, when, like, Taylor Swift and, like, Adele won Album of the Year at the Grammys. So, like, people that win Album of the Year are, like, the artists, the producers, and the writers. So, it's, so, like, when Adele won, it was Adele and, like, this, like, huge crowd of men. When Taylor Swift won, it was Taylor Swift and this huge crowd of men. And it's, like, that not, like, you know, nullifies, you know, their, how groundbreaking that is to be, like, a woman to win that kind of a category. But it's, like, how powerful would it be? Because I remember Lauryn Hill actually won Album of the Year at the Grammys as well one year. And she self-produced and self-wrote that album. And she was the only one standing on that stage accepting that award. So, like, it'd be really cool to see more of that, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of cool, like, women producers, like, killing it in the game. So, like, even if it wasn't just one woman, if it was just, you know, the woman accepting the award and a sea of, like, women writers and producers accepting for that album as well.
Or at the very least, like, more than just, like, one.
You know?
Not, like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Men. That's, like, it's, like, interesting because you were asking about a representation of women in music. And, I mean, the only things that we could really sort of, like, attest to, because what we see, like, first and foremost, are just, like, the artists and the members of the band. We don't really know what's going behind the scenes. But I think I might have caught, like, a couple articles here and there about how, like, it's even worse behind the scenes.
So, it's, like, I definitely suggest, like, you know, if you like an artist, if you like an album, like, check out who writes and produces it. And if you see any female writers or producers, check out their stuff as well. Like, see what they're producing for even male artists, for female art, or, like, you know, their fellow female colleagues. Because there's a lot of cool, like, female writers and producers killing it. I'm next. So, I could have gone with, like, a more obvious choice, like Beyonce or, like, Lady Gaga. But I went with an artist I've, like, been in love with since, I guess, like, eighth grade, really. It's Florence and the Machine. It was at the 2010, I think, VMAs, and where she performed this song. And, like, that was the same year where Gaga wore that meat dress and Kanye, like, debuted, like, Runaway. But this, like, when she performed the song, this was the thing that really, like, struck a chord in me. Like, it was just so beautifully outlandish and, like, that yodel. Like, she's just so incredible. I low-key cried when I saw her live, like, a couple years ago because, like, it was just, like, a long time ago. It was, like, so good. And, like, three albums later, it's been an all-creator ever since. Here it is, the song, like most people, introduced me to Florence. This is Dog Days Are Over.
What a classic.
So we're talking about women, right? Well, Kylie Jenner gave birth to a girl. Those are women.
Named Stormy.
Stormy with an I. Just the fucking God. Cherry on
also,
top.
Also, it's Travis Scott's last name. So what is that?
Stormy Webster.
Oh. Oh, wow.
It rhymes really well, though.
Like, I kind of like it. Like, I hope she could. I hope she gets Travis Scott's music talent, and I want to see. Like, that's a good pop star name.
Oh my God, no! My favorite is when people are just like Stormy Webster, Northwest. How are these kids going to get hired in jobs when they apply to jobs on their resume?
They're gonna apply to jobs.
They never have to fucking work.
They show up and be like, "My dad's Kanye West," and they'd be like, "Oh, right this way, madam."
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah. Who's up? Gabby, you are up. It's you. Okay. What did you bring for us?
I brought for you guys a song from Kesha's latest album, which was written as a response to, like, what she has been going through for the last, I guess you could say, year. Because on top of rightfully coming forward with these accusations against he who shall not... I just don't want to say these people's names, so I won't. And going through that, we all know, like, the difficulties she had during trial. So I chose Learn to Let Go from her album because it's my personal favorite on that album. But it's like, this girl, she went through this entire situation through the public eye. She takes a bit of a... She the judges rule against her favor. So she goes on break, and then she comes out with this album. It's so her... It has such a positive note, and like this Learn to Let Go, it's about like forgiving. It's like forgiveness, and it's just like, who does this? Like, that just takes so much of a person. And then she gets snubbed at the Grammys. Who won? Was this for best album? This was, right?
This was like best pop vocal album.
Best pop vocal album.
Who won it?
Ed Sheeran won.
Not to discredit Ed Sheeran, because honestly, I really liked his album. It was a bop. But compared to something like Rainbow by Kesha, which comes from such a personal place, like, I'm just really pissed. So I'm going to give her my personal award and give her the honor.
The Gabby Award.
The Gabby.
He wasn't even there to accept the damn award because he was salty.
He was salty about being snubbed in the main categories.
So he was... He
didn't Yo, accept, fuck that!
He
fuck
didn't even
that.
Accept the award, and, like, there's literally only male nominee and he fucking gets it. Like, the Shape of You is a bop. But...
Shape of You is a bop. Sorry. Kesha. I know I'm always like telling everybody you don't gotta be there. Dumb life ain't always fair, but hell is living in reason. Mine, choose redemption, your happy end ends up to you. So I think it's time to practice what I preach. Exercise the demons inside me. Had to learn to let it go. The past can haunt me if I don't let it live and learn to never forget. So, yeah, I mean, at the Grammys, like, you know, Kesha was obviously unfairly snubbed, and, you know, they made a big, like, Time's Up sort of part of the ceremony because Janelle Monáe introduced her performance. She gave, like, a really good speech, and then Kesha was backed by, like, I think, like, Cyndi Lauper and Camila Cabello and, like, a choir of, like, other female singers. And, you know, it was, like, really powerful and stuff, but it's just that you kind of wonder, it's like, they're just using her for the ceremony, they're using her for the ratings, and they're not properly awarding these female artists,
you know? It was all for show. And then on top of that, the Recording Academy president had the nerve to say, oh, if women want to get awards, they should step up. Meanwhile, I chose this album specifically because there was nothing more stepping up that she had to do from going through the trauma of getting assaulted, going through the trauma of a trial, and then saying that she needs to step up? Excuse me?
Because even just praying alone is like, you know, it was an act of, like, reclaiming her voice and reclaiming, like, her artistry. But that is a very forgiving song as well. Like, she doesn't wish any harm on he who will not be named. She wishes that she just hopes that he's somewhere praying, you know?
Do you know, like, how much that has to take out of a person?
Yeah, like, that's incredible, you know?
Yeah.
Like, she could have easily done, you know, like, a fuck you song. And, like, that is kind of a fuck you song, but it's also a very forgiving song. And it's, like... That's just a testament to, you know, the kind of artist that she is, the kind of person that she is, and the kind of stance that she wanted to take on, you know, in response to all that happened, you know.
I honestly take a lot of issue with Time's Up in general, because Me Too, that was very grassroots, that was, like, from everybody. Everybody had something to say. Then Time's Up, they kind of just, like, handpicked, like, the people that were, I guess, had the best image, sort of in that kind of. And then it became kind of disingenuous because then you have Time's Up, you have it at all these awards shows, and they're just like, oh, wear black against sexual assault. How about you just don't sexually assault for sexual assault?
It's
bullshit.
It's not bullshit. It's you're making people aware it's an issue.
No, but that's the thing. Of course it's an issue and we're aware of that. And like wearing black, okay, that's a thing. But how's about we award these women besides just wearing black?
I know. I mean,
I'm sorry for interrupting.
It's not, but like they don't have control over who gets the award. These are the women who are facing these experiences, and they you get power in numbers. So right now they're just trying to show, hey, this is an issue, and if everyone in Hollywood bands at these huge, they come together at these very huge award ceremonies that have a lot of media attention, people talk about it.
It's just that they also did not. This is what I'm saying. They're handpicking. So Rose McGowan, she recently got a lot of flack because. She wasn't very graceful in her treatment of a trans woman, which was
the
actually,
Barnes and Noble
it was
thing,
pretty
right?
appalling, to be honest. But before that, like at these Times Up movements, she wasn't even invited. And she was one of like another He Who Must Not Be Named's most vocal victim. Like she was the one who kind of brought it forward. And she wasn't even invited to these ceremonies, which I think is a really big snub. And it wasn't just her. It was a lot of other women who were assaulted. So instead of inviting them, instead of like being like, thank you for doing this, thank you for being so brave. Because do you know how much that takes out of a person to be able to come forward and point fingers at such like a powerful person? No, we just wear white roses and that's
it. Okay, so at the Golden, I understand what you're saying. At the Golden Globes, a lot of these famous actresses, they brought their plus ones were women who also came out about their experiences but were not as famous. So they all like brought like a plus one, and that for those people shared their stories.
That I didn't know, and that's actually really great.
So like for Emma Watson brought someone, like all these really big artists just brought like one or two people as their plus one, and they shared their stories that way. But I do understand what you're saying in that aspect too. Like,
this is what I was referring to, how every single interaction, especially between women in this conversation, is so nuanced. Like, none of us are wrong. We all have like separate viewpoints, and those all come into play.
I mean, yeah, the whole movement too, a lot of it is just like people, rather than understanding the issue, they're just like pick at stupid semantics, and they're just like picking at very, very, like, I don't know, like a lot of the conversations that have been happening, I'm just kind of like, are we seriously going to be talking about what sexual harassment is, like, is defined? Like, oh, you got touched on the butt, you're not being sexually harassed, but you got raped, so you're actually being sexually harassed. No, they're all being sexually harassed. Like, fuck you. Mm. But whatever, that's my opinion.
that's like a very good one.
No, I mean, like, kind of just like legitimizing the female opinion. It's just like,
it took that much, man.
Yeah, you know.
And it was, you know what? It wasn't like, women have been saying this for so long, especially women of color. Mm. So that within itself is a separate controversy.
I think there's also like, you know, a lot of flack for like, you know, people like Emma Watson and like the other famous actresses that were like taking these Time's Up activists, the Me Too activists, you know, with them as their dates, because a lot of them are women of color. So they were saying they were like tokenizing them, using them as like pawns and stuff for like their photos and stuff. Mm. And like, that's an interesting thing to take off.
This is what I'm talking about with this nuance, because there's two sides to this and both of them have separate nuances and both of them are, you could say, valid. Because for example, like, I could say, oh, these women were like using their influence to bring forward other women who may not have as much influence but can get a chance to share their stories. That's one side. Mm. But another side, they could be seen as props.
Mm.
And that's an issue of race. That's an issue of how, like, within feminism, there's like white feminism and there's feminism amongst the women of color.
Yeah.
So it's a super complicated issue.
This is intersectionality, right? Yeah.
There's a lot. And there's just so much learning to do. And honestly, I really got to give a shout out to Emma Watson because, like, okay, maybe she like slips up once or twice, but actually, when she slips up, it's like nothing.
Like
it's
I feel like
a napkin. And she's doing great, so I love her.
I feel like Emma Watson is like really like passionate about it. Like she's actually like really about this. She's not just using it for like clout, you know.
And she like really takes this sweet time to educate and give back.
Like I always wonder,
she doesn't make it about her.
I always wonder why people
Instagram, like all she does is post about it, and it's like really inspiring.
Like I wonder why people call her like a white feminist and stuff. Yeah. Like because
I
think she's
originally definitely.
Yeah.
But then she actually released something about that. How she was just like, I like realized what the term white feminism even meant.
Yeah.
So then she like like working towards intersectionality. She came forward about that. And she admitted it.
Now for something completely different.
You can
pioneer.
Very true.
I love it.
We got a new issue of The Pioneer out today, volume 97, issue 9. Do you want to give us a quick brief of the new issue, Matt?
Yeah, it should be pretty newsy. We do have a crossword, so keep tabs on that.
Will there be words on this crossword?
Otherwise, we'll definitely have some coverage of this course credit contact hour issue going on in the engineering school.
People being sus.
Yeah, we also have some good coverage of the financial monitor's response to the FEC report. Some great writing there, and also a great story on plus minus grades in the engineering school.
Oh.
Yeah, just suddenly, it just everything kind of just blew up. Like, we were all nice and quiet, then Laura Sparks get inaugurated, then just everything just like.
I think people thought Cooper is being too quiet. Mm-hmm. That's the issue. I feel like every spring semester, some shit happens and everything goes to hell.
What was it last year?
I know the year before was the Calc 2 stuff, the student trustee.
I was affected by that.
Calc 2, student trustee, the bathrooms.
Oh, right.
Oof. I was in those conversations.
The bathrooms. Yeah, was that I think that was the spring semester thing last year.
No, it was 2 years ago.
No? Oh, wow.
That's actually the reason I had to take a break from JSC, because, like, I was still in ESC, but, like, the conversations that were being had, it was just so vicious on both sides. It was, like, it was a lot. It was a fucking
very personal.
Huh?
Became very personal.
Extremely personal. Like, both sides, they just started jabbing at each other. It didn't become about bathrooms anymore. It became about just, like, everything that was wrong with everybody.
See, there was, like, a split.
My God. And that's why we're still working for better relations between the engineering and art school. Ugh.
Yay.
Ayo.
I am tired.
You can pick up a copy of The Pioneer at any newspaper stand at your local Cooper building or The Bean, and right here on pioneer.cooper.edu.
Also, follow us on Facebook.
Like us on Instagram.
Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Still getting used to the social media thing, but stay tuned.
There we go.
Hell yeah, 2018.
2018, oh girl.
Still getting used to this calendar year thing.
Wow.
Sorry guys, stuck at the year 20,000.
That concludes this episode of Tunage. Thank you, everyone on the panel, for sitting in with me. To all of you out there for listening with us. Before we end, I just want to say, you know, it's Women's History Month, so just a reminder, we all have to uplift each other on every month of every single year. So I implore our listeners, our male listeners specifically, please uplift each other, stand up for those underrepresented, invite all women to have a seat at the table, and I do mean all women, women of color, trans women, Muslim women, immigrant mothers, first-generation daughters. Let's look after one another. We need to. Okay? So we will be back with a new theme and new music to listen to on the next episode, coming out with the release of the next issue of The Pioneer. And that is that on that. This has been Tunage. We will see you on the next one.